When I meet director Evan Moritz at the EMP space on Baltimore Street, he doesn't want to give me a synopsis of the play. He wants to show off a potato.
I'm holding this papier-mâché potato that does several different things here. It opens up and these red wings come out, assemble, and it forms a potato-based rocket ship. The direction in this particular scene is that there's an Isaac Newton made entirely out of potatoes, and he's sitting under an apple tree that's actually holding potatoes instead of apples, and one of them drops from the tree, and instead of hitting Isaac Newton on the head, it sprouts wings and takes off at the speed of light, and then we see the tree and Isaac Newton decay as time passes while the potatoes often its long speed of light voyage, and it comes back fresh while all of the potatoes it knew and loved on the tree have since died. That's one short interlude.
So let me now rewind from there, Evan, and just have you sort of give, in as much as it is possible, sort of an overview of what this production is, The Potatoes of August. You have a big job as director because this is quite an ambitious, surreal production.
Well, sure. This production is this play by Sybil Kempson, and she's, I would say, has written as much a challenge as anything else. It's the equivalent of a playwright sort of almost like writing this really cool, interestingly written stage directions and language, and you, as a director, look at it and you go, this is so funny and I love reading this, and this is impossible.
So you've got the script here. Let me just have you read off some of these challenges, so to speak.
Bethy is seen either running through the parking lots and streets, clutching a paper examination robe around her, only one strap of her purse to her shoulder so that its contents spill out in a wake behind her, or still in the examination room table, her forehead perspiring, or both? We hear Bach's Contrapuntis 4 from Art of the Fugue on an aggressive little harpsichord coming from somewhere.
You know, obviously, this is the kind of script that maybe a more conventional theater production company might have a look at, get a chuckle at, throw in the discard pile, and go on to more conventional fare. Maybe use this as an opportunity to say a few words about this theater company and why a work like this is an appealing challenge that's worth taking on.
Actually, Carly presented me with the script.
I'm Carly J. Bales. I'm the artistic director of EMP Collective. We're a multi-use space, so a lot of us have a background in theater performance, but we actually do programming across the artistic disciplines. And we don't have a typical theater season. We do maybe 2 to 3 shows a year, and when we do theater shows, they are highly unconventional scripts that have not been produced before or underproduced. And like Evan said, I think that's the biggest thing, is to be able to read a script and say, this is so wonderful and weird, and I have no idea how it's going to be done, but let's try to do it.
After talking with the director and the artistic director, I'm going to be honest with you. I still have no idea what this play is about. So I stick around for the rehearsal, hoping for some clarification. The play opens with three actors portraying cosmic sentient potatoes, all talking at once.
There are four.
This goes on for 8 minutes, by the way.
My name is Sarah Jacqueline, and I am a potato in this production. I am one of three potatoes, and we represent a kind of meta-consciousness, which is sort of imbuing itself in the lives of these humans, making them question tenets of their base philosophy of the world. And they also take a lot of interest in charting and understanding the movement of heavenly bodies.
Talk to me about some of the acting challenges of portraying a potato. Well, does your potato have a personality that you've been working on?
I find playing a sentient potato like a nice way of accessing sort of the collective unconsciousness. There's a lot of movement-based work, and I don't necessarily feel that the potato is capable of keeping the exact same characteristic. The potato sort of takes on characteristics of the world around it, and sometimes takes on different personalities at different tonal shifts in the show.
My name is Connor Kaiser, and I am also playing a potato.
Tell me about how your potato, Connor, might differ from Sarah's potato.
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think that our characters are coming from a place where we don't differ at all, where we're all just, in fact, one thing, like one uber being of potato-dom.
Hi, my name's V. Lee, and I am potatoes.
You are potatoes, plural.
Oh, we all are. Potatoes, plural.
Let me ask you what you reckon viewers, audience members are going to get out of this production. I mean, is it more a story or more an experiment for the people involved in the production?
I think it's a mind experiment for both the audience and those involved with the production. It's quite absurdist, and it could be make an audience member feel awkward or laugh just for the joy of what is going on. It's really beautiful that way.
Absurd, awkward, joyous, confusing, and beautiful. That's a suitable endorsement for a play that leaves you generally understanding less than when you walked in the door. If you're interested in experiencing it for yourself, Sybil Kempson's The Potatoes of August goes up at EMP Collective on Thursday, October 9th, and it runs through October 26th. Details are online at empcollective.org. For The Signal, I'm Aaron Hinken.